is everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hi, I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, where we bring you interdimensional communication between our world and the spirit world. And this week's show is going to be listeners' questions, and if you would like to join us with a question, then we'd love to hear from you. It's free phone in the USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and that is 001-530-876-3222. Now, the questions that I'm talking about are general questions. It's not personal readings style situation. So keep it general. But if there's anything that you think that the spirit world, the guides that we will be bringing through today can help you, then that is applicable. So hang on a second. I've got a little message here from the studio. Okay. The 877. Okay, the 877 number. So 877-876-5227 doesn't work. So it's literally just the 888-815-9756. Well, thanks for that, Don. Anyway, yeah, if you would like to join us with a question, then do phone that number or the international number, and you can ask the Spirit Gregory yourself, or you can email at any other time in the week, and I will ask the question for you. I do have some questions here already, so we're off to a good start. Anyway, I'll hand you over to Mick.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Mick Avey, and if you'd like to know more about us or maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit one of our websites. You can go to www.spirit-teaching.com, also at mickavery.com and at spiritsworkradio.com. Now, on Spirit's Work, we cross the divide between the physical world and the spirit world and discuss all kinds of things, not only metaphysical, but normal everyday situations that affect us all and our planet. I'm a deep trance medium, and live on the show, I channel our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay. When I'm in the trance state, I don't have any awareness of what is going on, but with the help of the spirit world, I have developed a method of being able to have a kind of instant out-of-body experience. And this enables me to lend my body to the spirit communicator to use in a very pure way. And without further ado, I'm going to say goodbye for this week, and because that's all I actually say, mm-hmm. Isn't it? That's about all the contact you allow me to have.
It is.
Anyway, there we are. I'm off then. Bye.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Mick. Yes, Mick's spirit and his consciousness are basically taken to the spirit world. They take him to somewhere else, and he doesn't know of anything that happens until he comes back into his body at the end of the show. So it's kind of a lot of his life is... big chunks of it are missing, really. But anyway, that's life. Very shortly, Gregory will be joining us. And he is a spokesperson for an enlightened group of spirits called the White Cloud Group. And they are called the White Cloud Group because of a shining one of the group who have brought together the many great minds to form this educational collection of energy, shall we say, that so we can have access to as much knowledge and information that we need to know in order to benefit ourselves, our Earth, and everyone on it. And actually, I think we'll get Gregory to talk about that first of all before we go on to questions, because I do get quite a few people asking about that anyway. So I thought, well, instead of just asking for one person, I will actually launch into that myself, because it's a very common question, especially if you've only just come across us and our shows, our website, our teachings or whatever. And a welcome for everybody who has, by the way. Then, and do drop us a line if you think that you would have any questions that you would like the spirit team to answer for you, and I will put them across 1 week. Absolutely. And also, if you would like a reading, a personal reading, because like I say, this show isn't about personal readings, then you can have a look at our website, go to our Akashic Readings page, and you can get in touch with me. And if you like an Akashic reading, then that's absolutely fine. We do phone readings all over the world, audio or whatever. And they are pretty special from Gregory, direct from Gregory. So anyway, Gregory's here now.
Yes, hello, my dear friends. With love and light, blessings as ever, little bird.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, friend.
Yes, so I was wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about basically why the White Cloud group got together, why they decided to come, what are they trying to achieve, what are you trying to achieve in your teachings, in your interaction with us, through us, to everybody that we could possibly reach, basically.
Yes, my dear friend. Well, the whole group really was established because of many, many individuals who had, in a sense, transpired back to our side of life, returned having had their physical life, and felt that their job was undone, that it simply, whatever their vocation was, or whatever interest that they had in their mentoring, in their ability to traverse humanity, perhaps in some way helping guide and bring about transformations of health and well-being, and also peace and security in many respects, and of course also for the planet as well in itself, that many had felt that the situation was that they had left it in a perilous state, or in a state whereby they felt that other energies at work to do with their physical life in experience, perhaps surrounding their work and their life, were still aggravating the situation and maybe trying to pull humanity back into the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages or some such thing as that. So, in a sense, unraveling all that they had tried to do to create worthwhile and benefit for humanity. So the White Cloud group was really set up so that all of these questions would be able to be brought about and understood by the spirit team, but also to perhaps provide some kind of input to others on your side of life. Now, of course, primarily, we chose to do it through this facility of using our dear friend here, the instrument, and also your good self, of course, because in respect of this, it was something that was not foretold, but that we had a plan set up to actually do that. This is actually quite rare that plans are set up in this way. And in itself was not something that was, in a sense, a done deal. It wasn't something that was that we were absolutely certain it was even going to take place, purely and simply because the facets of you two actually meeting, or that the situation was heralded in the way that it was, there was a great deal against it. From many different quarters on your side of life in the physical state. After all, otherwise you wouldn't be having a free will existence if everything was all completely planned or anything else like that. So there was a certain amount of speculation, in a sense, as there are within everyone's life. There's a certain amount of speculation as to whether they are going to reach whatever possible target they may have set themselves. As I say, in the main, this is something which doesn't actually take place, because usually most beings who come to have a physical life from our side of life actually they don't maintain a specific directive or some such thing as that. There isn't a plan or marked out variation of it. Is just that simply they wish to have an experience. whatever and however the archetype of their environment that they find themselves in delivers that experience. So in this respect then, it means that within the White Cloud Group, we had really already mapped out a certain part of it, as indeed for my life work within the group as well. This is, of course, the first and only time I have had occasion to speak directly to other beings in now living tissue body form. It was not something that that previously I had endured, in a sense. Not to say that it's a hard task to have to carry this out, but it does mean that in the main, this is one of my major complexions of my work in the non-physical state of reality. Purely and simply because, of course, I relish the challenge of it, but also in the contemporary factors of it, the mechanisms that had to be set up in order to bring this kind of information and connectivity about in the first place, in the first instance, being that we had to ensure that our friend really was disabled, in a sense, in his ability to read other information, because that then in itself would have set a precedent and therefore then made it almost useless of a mind to then infiltrate perhaps what we were trying to do and busy himself as a busying person would on your side of life to want to know the ins and outs of every single facet of energy that we had tried to employ, and that would have simply derailed the entire process. So that said, the whole situation governing this was really to do with that we had felt that we had stayed silent long enough. Particularly, it was something that became obvious at the turn of the Second World War. And after that, because we had seen through the many mistakes and continuous hideous crimes that continued to prevail humanity, it seemed that we had to do something else in order to bring about a kind of an understanding, in a sense. Much of this also is to do with the behavior of peoples, to do with the way in which many peoples continued to create slavish acts of others. And also, of course, belittling others. And in even state, my friend, I have to say, within the genocides that continue to wreak havoc upon those of physical life, whether they be human, ape, rhinoceros, elephant, or whatever they are, they're simply other families, other species, other beings who really should have an abundance in their physical life. After all, it would be tantamount to, in a sense, a catastrophic situation if human beings in the historical endeavor of planet Earth were to be listed the same as in the context of perhaps atmospheric shifts or perhaps natural activities of the Earth planet or the solar system to create the destruction of the dinosaurs. So perhaps it would be then that humanity itself creates the destruction of other instinctive species. That then surely is not the epitaph humanity wants for itself. So therefore, our whole remit really is to do with the welfare and well-being of the planet. Not to save it, but perhaps to alter humankind's behavior toward it, so that human beings themselves begin to realize their own responsibility to all other beings. In respect of animal, that they have senses, feelings, sight, and understanding just the same as human beings, yet they are unable to speak of it. Perhaps human beings themselves may understand perhaps what they do in the name of their own, in a sense, civilization that they understand. Whether it be in name of religion, whether it be in gender persecution or extinction in itself. We have talked long about this, and yet still it continues.
So basically that's why, you know, you do a lot of reflection.
Yes.
And to actually highlight back to yes. us what yes. you see that we do, basically, because
yes.
you know, it's a bit like counseling. You can unless you're in the thick of it. When you're in the thick of it, sorry, then
you can't
actually see your way and see
yes.
what you're doing.
Yes.
But when somebody actually reflects that back to you,
It is to show that reflection
yeah.
so that you can see
yeah.
and observe and actually understand that you can do something about it.
Yeah.
We are not bringing this about, my dear friend, in order to be deeply negative or to entrench negativity into the human psyche. The whole perplexing state of this is really so that we may be able to shed light in how human beings can actually move forward and really have promise. And really understand the echoes of that promise so they can be loving and giving and guiding and not molesting or raping one another or eating one another's children, but actually doing something that is beneficial and profitable and something that then embraces life and enables life in its truest sense to live in a more perfected harmony. Because then you yourselves will feel better beings for having done it,
well,
for having achieved it.
Yes, well, basically, we will be doing the same otherwise, won't we? In hindsight, we will be thinking, I wish we'd done more.
Yes, absolutely so.
Know, of course, you know, there'll be possibly people that might say that, well, you know, how can just a few people change this situation? But that's not the case. Is it? It's
no,
actually.
It isn't.
It's to inspire people to instigate new thought themselves.
Yes, that's
and
right.
motivate them into taking a harder look about what they can do.
Yes,
if
and
they
so,
want to.
Yes, absolutely so, little bird. And also so that they do not feel, would not feel, that it is a worthless execution. That it is something that, oh, well, what on earth can I do? I am just me. I am just one mind. And yet one mind can create illumination, can create progress. Look at our dear friend Nikola Tesla and what wonderful contributions he made in examination, in understanding the energy and flux of the universe and how it actually materialized in the physical voyage in which you live and how to harness that and perfect it and beautify it.
Well, we actually notoriously follow one mind, whether it's the Prime Minister, the President,
yes,
God, whatever, or, you know, I mean, that's a huge subject, I know.
Yes,
but
yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
One,
whatever icon you...
Yes.
So
it's not really that difficult to think that one won't make a difference when
that's
you
right.
think of the power... That
one mind has.
Exactly.
If you give it the right latitude and understanding of listening ability.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you really begin to take on perhaps a different being's perspective, not to fleece everything or rip everything out and do something that is negative that which can then no longer be replaced, but rather to conserve. And therefore not to conserve the wrong things, the negative things, or the ill-at-ease stances, or the way in which some people have things that they carry around with themselves, building their own little castles, and then disallowing, through their activities and actions, other people's right to their own progress.
Okay. So we'll move on to our first question then, shall we?
Yes,
thank you for that.
Do.
And this is from Chris of Devon. Thank you, Chris. He says, I'm enjoying your shows each week and love the promise and potential it shows. These questions are really to understand aspects from outside a human perspective rather than within a human's perspective.
Yes, yes, I understand.
So that we can get a broader understanding. So he's got three questions here. What exactly is imagination?
How very interesting.
Do you want me to say the rest of the question or do you want to... Yeah, I'll say it all, okay. What exactly is imagination and what aspect of ourselves and the spirit world are we connecting to when using it, if we are connecting to the spirit world?
Imagination itself. It depends on whether it is a visual, sensual, or different understanding. That does not mean to say that one is heralded from one place and another from another. Imagination can come to the human psyche and thought in exactly the same way that imagination, although more rarely apt, can come to other animals and other species. Oftentimes, human beings have imagination or gain by it as an external experience. So that means it comes to them in a flash, and it comes to them as from an external command or an external source that is not necessarily as external as you think it is. So this means to say that sometimes imagination may be simply that is your perspective of it. And that imagination itself, the tool which is underlying it, is meaning that it isn't from something that you created before, but rather is something that's elliptically different and complete in its state. So that means the seed or germination of an imagination, an imaginative creative thing, perhaps, may well be the creation of a sculpture that actually doesn't come from you sculpting from a figure or a collection or image that you see in the physical sense, but is something that is brought about by the inspiration connectivity of the physical logical mind and consciousness with your beautiful, pure spirit, which is non-physical and remains so at all times. This intimates then that your beautiful, pure spirit can have some kind of communication, yet spirit, being non-physical, neither has mouth, lungs, or eyes, or an embodiment of a physical being, surely. So that means to say, if you look at spirit, your spirit, and see nothing whatsoever, then you'd say, spirit doesn't exist. But if you created not imagination, because that means, in a sense, that you're creating an elusive state, something that is imagination, is not necessarily real in your perception of it, of the physical state, but may well become real because it's a collection of thoughts and ideas and manifestation which, together with your spirit or other energies or simply ideas that you have observed in physical state and then are able to bring together, perfects that imagination into a formal idea or some other such thing, which is brought about through the illumination of illusion, which is to do with the benefits of the conscious mind and how you as a physical being see things or accept events or situations in your life. I'm sorry if this is a little complex.
Well, so basically it comes from your mind, consciousness,
yes,
and your spirit.
And or your spirit.
Okay.
Yes.
I guess the more attuned you are to your spirit self, your higher self, more you've maybe raised your vibration through your energy.
Loving acts of
loving
kindness.
Acts of kindness, your spiritual pathway, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, then obviously then that you will gain more access, but because your spirit actually is always in the ether world, always in the spirit world.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so you can either have imagination just from your mind consciousness and your brain.
Yes.
Or you can have it with a connection to your spirit self as well, your higher self. So would this feel different when you get this inspiration, this imagination, whatever it is, whether it's a picture, an idea or whatever?
Yes.
A feeling?
Absolutely.
It would feel different if it came from the spirit, your spirit.
Yes, or somebody else. From
or somebody else impressing that.
Yes, absolutely. So
upon you.
And that may well not necessarily be someone automatically from our side of life, but may well be another energy, perhaps transpersonally, being able to communicate with you via some other kind of apparatus or some other kind of telepathy, perhaps even creating an image in your mind or creating a connectivity in some way. Yes, so that means to say that there are very many different kinds of permutations or ways in which through deliberation you may meditate on a situation or you may just simply allow it to come within to your life. That does not mean to say that you have a hand in it, does not mean to say that you have a part of the manifestation or that means that you conjure it up from something.
Okay, so when you're in spirit form after this life, where does your imagination come from then? Just purely from your spirit?
Yes, absolutely.
And other people, obviously.
And other beings, yes.
Yes.
That you connect with.
Mm. Okay, but it doesn't mean to say that you're limited I'm trying to cover every aspect here for everybody listening.
Yes.
That doesn't mean to say that it's limited in the sort of imagination that you can receive or create for yourself.
No,
that
is quite right.
Surely.
Yes, absolutely so. It means that the focal point, it changes. Once you, as a physical being, return to our side of life, the whole focal point changes. What you have to remember is that being immersed in the murky world of the physical state vibration means quite simply that when you are interpolating to some other energy external to yourself, whether that be seen or unseen, non-physical entity or energy, means to say that will only be coming through in a certain way, simply and purely because you're a physical being. And that doesn't actually matter in a sense to the understanding or the sense of how loving you are or how giving you are, although of course it will make an appearance depending upon your vibration or upon your ability to cope with that energy. So it's going to be that there are some certain restrictions. It's not always the case. I know that many people have said it, that just because it's a higher energy means to say that it can connect with anyone. That is not the case. Some vibrations may simply not gel or mesh. It may well be that for some vibrations, they make you as sick as a dog, purely and simply because the vibration is just not of that equal. And remembering too that we're talking here about imagination. So that is imagery which you have not before suspected. If it's to do with imagination of illuminate or thoughts or feelings or situations that you have already transposed within your life journey and being able to understand certain facets of it, not necessarily that you've held them and made them make sense at the time of their interaction with you. It may well be that for some of them that you had just simply acknowledged them, perhaps years ago, Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that their thoughts or situations or relevancies at that time, but that you just buried them. Just, oh, that's a thing that I saw. And then that's it, gone. You see? But that doesn't mean to say that it is always going to be buried.
No, absolutely, because the thing is, yes, when you get to the other side, then all of these things are still accessible anyway to you,
yes,
aren't they?
Yes, absolutely so.
Yeah.
Yes, but also what I'm saying, little bird, is that likewise, during your present physical life, you may have imaginative states of illumination, if you like, that what happens is that you recall images and situations and events, but don't necessarily relate them to you having led there or having been through them. You might not recall that part of it, you see.
Yeah.
So it may well actually seem like a completely separate and alternate experience, when in actual fact you'd actually gone through it.
Yeah.
And don't forget that some situations and events to do with this can come about through the immersion of cellular memory. And cellular memory oftentimes is something which many, many beings on physical side of life actually forget. And that is quite simply that, let's say, it's a cousin, uncle, aunt, somebody perhaps quite remote in your family history may well be able to connect with you telepathically or through the cellular memory instrument of your physical being. So that means that because you are actually physically related to that being genetically, means to say that you have and can filter in to your imagination some cellular memory activities. It doesn't mean to say that you have to have a transplant in order to do that. You see?
Yeah.
They can come from any direction.
Okay, so
oftentimes I have to say as a subject to that, that sometimes some human beings actually think that they are reincarnated from other relatives or some other such thing because their aspiration, thought, mind process is so clear from that a specific relative. But actually it's because of cellular memory, and just because that person is living a different and separate experience, because of genetics enable the processes of cellular memory to transfigure from one being to another and be an acute part in some respects of, but in quite rare occasions, of some people's conscious mind, can actually feel as though they have lived those experiences too.
Yes, absolutely. So if somebody wants to become more motivated in their life, they run out of imagination.
Yes.
I know you can't run out of imagination, really, can you?
Not really.
Not really, no. But but some people might feel so depressed and so lethargic.
Yes.
That they just have no imagination, they just don't know which way to turn, what to do with their life, etc. How do they stimulate this connectivity, this creativity within
them? Yes, it's a very good point, my dear friend. This is really to do with reconnectivity. So oftentimes what we see is that human beings actually fail in this regard or have moments of disillusionment, purely and simply, perhaps because their environment presently they are habiting in is simply unsuitable for them and has stifled their progress or has simply stifled the life. Some human beings, this can happen through cohesive activity which is happening of other people around them. It may well be that their energy is being used by others.
What do you mean?
In a sense of
other people who are
other people
them.
Bullying them or taking their energy or using their energy when they don't realize it's happening, and that kind of situation and event, or simply not necessarily someone who is directly impacting that life. But what they're doing is by their behavior and errant state or stance of mind, what actually happens is they denigrate other people's energy simply because of their behavior. And that makes them feel worthless, lifeless. Disillusionment comes into the foreground of that life. And then they begin their spiral downward because of the chemical change and variances which happened due to the derelict state of mind.
The physiological.
Yes, yes, quite so.
Biological yes. changes within the body that happens through that.
Yes, absolutely.
Just being around other people who are, negative in some ways, but we don't often see, we can't tell that all of the time. Just people that drain your energy because they're needing, they always,
yes,
they're always
right.
somebody that needs your help or advice or whatever, and but in a depressive way, basically.
And don't seem to be and able to do anything with it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yes, that's
yeah.
right, little bird.
Yeah.
Yes, quite so. So these kinds of situations, oftentimes, I know that we are painting it negatively here, but that's just is a case in point. So that human beings understand when listening to this program that the situation is not all their fault and that they can pull themselves away from it. But it may mean that they have to change their habitual value. That is the way they spirit away, or their activity, or the way in which they entreat life. And how it meets with them. That means to say they have to change their habit-forming ideas and the envelopes of their mitigating circumstances, the limits to which they have enabled the activity of mind and contrast to actually be developed. They become quite black and white, in a sense.
Yeah, they've stopped thinking outside the box. They put themselves in a box or, you know, allowed other people to. So presumably food, habits, that sort of thing. Just really getting in a rut, that will stifle your imagination, won't it?
Yes, absolutely so.
Even not
absolutely.
Getting fresh air.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
But literally,
sunlight.
All sorts of things. Yes. So, yeah, that's interesting. And,
yes.
And obviously, we can't not mention a quick meditation to connect with your spirit to actually try to draw...
To change that
yeah,
value.
Absolutely,
yes.
To draw the attunement level to a different vibration and level that you can actually benefit from that.
Yes, absolutely. So all of these are very important factors. Sunlight, particularly in the winter months and that kind of thing, is very, very difficult for some human beings now to comprehend or to understand why it's actually happened to them. And they actually feel quite disillusioned by their whole state of being in the winter months, purely and simply through the lack of sunlight or the right kind of energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And similarly, I have to say as well that these kinds of symptoms and scenarios also come through from the various forms of geophysical stress that may well be evaluating that part of the planet through tectonic plate movement or whatever that may be happening at that time. Also, I have to say, magnetic changes and values can also upset various kinds of chemical balance within the physical body, and therefore that can attribute to various people becoming going into these states of delusional activity.
Fascinating. Thank you for that question, Chris. Yes. And we'll move on to his second question.
Yes.
What is your view of human emotion, and what function and purpose does it have for the spirit?
Human emotion is essential for well-being, for the gratification of species, and for the genetic sway of that species. So if you didn't have human emotion, would you have animal emotion? Well, that's very similar in many ways. Human or animal, it matters not really. All emotions can be derived from either pain or suffering, love, injustice, peace, separation, anxiety, collection, connection, well-being, family, love, hatred or worse. All of these different energies come from the seeds of emotion that are not just born in human physical life, but as I say, are really a part of all kingdoms. Bugs, for example, fall in love. Not a lot of people understand that.
So,
and their emotional involvement is something that is quite unique.
Yeah, okay. So human emotion, what function and purpose does it have for the spirit? Well, I guess, I mean, you talk more about that, but
yes.
Obviously if we learn on this earth plane,
yes.
if we learn by cause and effect,
yes.
Then this has to be a connection, the human emotion and the cause and effect. I mean, that's all about that, really, isn't it, as well?
Yes, absolutely so. And, of course, the fact that emotion creates the energy of your soul. So that means to say that your collection of emotion creates the energy of your soul, which then enables you to have gain and entry to certain parts of the non-physical universe. So that means to say, of course, it calls into question certain idyllic situations or non-preferred situations. Non-preferred would be a child is raped, a situation of great trauma and activity is still creating emotion. And emotion of trauma and traumatic events, whether in war or peace, whether it is to do with family involvement or some other interference from outside of the family value. In a sense, which one is worse? Well, actually, they're both the same. Because the effect is oftentimes felt that if a child is raped, then that child is in a state of trauma, not just about the situation, but about also their own sense of responsibility, or that they could not stop the event. It really means that the emotion of that being does not then set their whole echo of their energy into disarray necessarily. One might think it does in a transitory state, purely and simply because what tends to happen is that if you were watching or observing the experience from outside of it, you would automatically connect with that person to try to reassure them of their own value, but that also is something of an abhorrence of it. So is as though you don't want to go there, you don't want to experience it, is something of then a kind of pious pity, but also entity and empathy with the moment, with the situation that it unveils itself. You have to feel in a state of absolute compassion for that being, of how to try to help them overcome their burden being unwittingly placed upon them. This then means, does it mean that a child who has been raped has a more perfect soul or has a damaged soul from that situation? Does it mean to say that a young person being bullied or having some other such situation, maybe a child who has been forced into war with some other peoples, and that those traumatic events equally are displacing that person into, some would say, a more loathsome soul or quarrelsome energy or some other depleted thing which then means they cannot climb out of it because they've been already subjected to one horror after another, and now you have other human beings putting them down for having gone through it, or subjecting their energy of their soul vibration as being worth less than they are. All of these different emotions, garlanded whether perhaps by the beautifying acts of love and kindness before the event happened, or just purely and simply that they never went through such an event in the first place. Is that mean to say that soul energy generated by that physical life is worthless because they never went through any of those activities? Or that they weren't on the plains of the Serengeti and died after their first 3 days of life? Does that mean to say that life was worth more because it went through that situation? Or is it that when you see and look into the eyes of someone of ancient age, perhaps 80 or 90 years of age, that you automatically say, I see wisdom in those eyes? It may be that the person themselves is absolutely barking mad, or that they have no shred or shard of decency left in them, and that they act in complete abandonment of their own morality. What then can you say? Is it within the eye of the beholder, or of the actions the person that they make in their emotional field? It is really to do with the energy that the person learns to put across and learns to accomplish, perhaps, that with the child who is raped or molested or abused in some way, or the child who goes to war, that they are cared for and patted and made well by helping them to adjust, to allow them to let go of their past that has encrusted them and bewitched them into some other kind of energy and thoughts of themselves, which does not mean to say that their emerging soul is any less bright. And I have to say that is something that the soul energy itself is the condition at which the level of activity you created as a physical being and that other beings created to you or toward you, or that you are the resulting energy of, then becomes the attraction or the ability for you as a spirit being to have access within consciousness to greater parts of the unseen world, or not. That doesn't mean to say that you have to go through all of these traumas I've just described in order to be a more successful or erudite or beautiful soul.
No, absolutely. So the function and purpose for the spirit, then really, I mean, it's all about, you know, because you could say that the spirit should drive the emotion if you're connected to,
yes,
you know, to your spirit,
yes,
while you were here,
that's
then
right,
that would drive your emotions, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's right.
But if
right,
you're not, then the emotions still drive the situation of your life.
Yes.
And is still remembered and recalled by your spirit.
Yes, okay, quite so. Absolutely. So, and of course your conscious memory, because it's a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yes. And
obviously your emotions drive your movements in life. I mean, they direct your movements in life.
Yes, and how you respond to them.
Absolutely. So, which is why, you know, happy people make better decisions and are nicer to be around. I mean,
yes,
the thing is, that's not a situation. It's chicken and egg, though, isn't it?
Yes.
This we say, this is exactly why we talk about connecting to your spirit as much as you can, so that that actually becomes more of the driving force that actually, you know, sort of like potentially leads you in through your life rather than the other way around. We're not talking about the spirit world and other beings and all of that. We mean you, the essence of you that you are. Connect
yes,
with that
right.
and
right.
let that help you guide you through life, basically.
Yes, that's right. So that you have creative moments.
Yeah.
That is, doesn't mean to say they have to happen all of the time, but it means to say as well that you then begin to pick up the tools to enable you to let go of events and situations, simulations, events of the environment that people did to you or that others created, whatever, that you learn to actually organize them and that you can then step away from these situations and events, which then stop plaguing your horizon, your way forward.
Mm. It's very difficult, isn't it? You know,
extremely
like,
difficult.
When you look back and everybody's done something really silly that
yes,
they're not
yes.
very proud of.
Yes.
Talking about it when you're feeling totally, well, say positive, happy, harmonic, connected.
Yes.
Then it's an embarrassing feeling. It's a horrible feeling. But if you're angry and negative and you know feel the world's against you, you can still say I did that and then make excuses why you did it, because it will just have that similar sort of shall we say reaction to you biologically, spiritually and all of the rest of it.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
So presumably when we go to the other side and this is what you talk about when you say that we are our own judge when we get to the other
yes,
side.
That's right.
Because it's all about emotion, isn't it?
It is all about emotion.
So
that's what you bring
bare.
With you.
We're stripped bare. We are in an environment that is beautiful.
And
loving,
very loving.
Absolutely loving.
Absolutely, yes.
Which actually makes thinking about the things that you've done, if they're really bad, just awful. I mean, to the point, though, really, that it's, I mean, how do you cope with that if it's really a lot? I mean, that it must be so painful to
yes,
go through.
Yes, like people who have killed other people,
yes.
Taken other life and that kind of thing. Yes, quite so.
But you can see how, say, just thinking of those instances, you know, we all have them, how painful that would be to actually come clean with that and say, yes, you know, I did that.
Yes, that's right. But that is part of the process, in a sense, not for you to shy away from it or try to pretend that it didn't happen, as many do, mm. I have to say, they still do.
Actually, can I just bring up quickly something I saw the other day? It's kind of relevant.
Yes.
A video of police dog handlers.
I understand.
Really bullying and beating this dog,
yes,
trying to gain its submission, putting it on its back, and being just really vicious to it.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, I can't believe that you treat that negativity, that situation, with negativity. Do you know what I mean? You
yes.
don't try to beat something that is fearful and aggressive like that with aggression. I mean, it just doesn't work.
But that's in the same way, is it not? As some human beings who treat horses.
Well, and children. I mean,
yes,
yeah,
and children too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But and then they yes. wonder why those children go out and they become bullies,
yes.
etc.
Yes.
But
or have traumatic events that just simply set them off. Yes.
Yeah.
Quite so.
Whereas if you show children or animals love when they're feeling that, saying, you know, it's okay and just
yes.
it's all about energy. It's all about emotion
absolutely
and love.
Absolutely so.
Then. You know, it has the right effect that you want. I can't believe. And then you train the animal in another way to do the things that you wanted it to do in the first place,
yes,
that you should
right.
have done in the first place,
yes,
basically.
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, I mean, if somebody's freaking out, you're not going to start slapping them around the face. Well, some people do, I suppose, in a shock situation.
Yes.
But that wasn't exactly what I was talking about.
No,
but if you get older, if you hug somebody and say there, you know, then that brings out an emotion that is a release, you know, that is something that is it's love.
Yes,
basically.
Absolutely, and of course the endorphins that prove it.
Mm.
In which case, that's part of the of the well-beingness.
Yeah.
Feeling coming from the event. So that means that they respond to it chemically as well as emotionally. Mm. And that is the whole point, is it not? The very facet of what you are talking about here is really just showing the absolute blind ignorance.
Mm.
Not that these people are not trained, but that they would do it in the first place.
Yes, but do you know what? It was a YouTube video of a police training
This is how we do it.
Exercise. It was Baltimore, I think.
Yes, yes.
Actually. And, you know, he was given a gun just in case he had to shoot the animal. It was just incredible. The dog was... it just beggars belief, you know?
Yes.
And that's just one that came... I know a lot of things like this go on because I used to work for the RSPCA.
Yes,
and
yes.
Actually, I had to go around and pay unexpected drop-ins to...
various police forces.
Police forces and that sort of thing to check on the animals, the horses, how they were trained, the dogs, where they were kept and all the rest of it.
And
I know it does go on and I know some die through it.
Yes.
So it's not an isolated incident.
One wonders.
But, you know, if you're talking about human emotion and emotion generally, you know, I mean, gosh, it's, that's certainly got me emotional anyway. Anyway, well, I wanted to end on something happy, hopefully this is happy and enlightening and we've had a good time anyway. And thank you very much for your question, Chris. And we've that's it now.
We've
raced through the hour.
Yes, yes. Well, love and light and blessings as ever to everyone. God bless upon your journeys, my dear friends. Remember, don't allow the past to dwell in your future. Step aside from it. Simply look in a different avenue.
Absolutely.
God bless upon your journeys, friend.
Well, thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Do visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out about our work, our information, maybe book yourself an Akashic reading. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.